Well, I got another letter today. It came as an email, and once again, a little girl being bothered. Something's walking into her room, some kind of shadow, some kind of presence, something. Sleep paralysis is what some have called this. Millions experience, maybe you. It's a spiritual engagement. Now, it has also gone to her dreams. And the email that I got today asks for help. Now, I've got a number of emails, and I just sent to two individuals some content materials to help out. We're going to try to answer all that we can. We're living in the mix. Sometimes I get so sick of the dark side, all that it does. But I know one thing, going passive, going blind to it, running from it, hiding from it, or just simply shutting your ears and eyes to what's happening around us today, well, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to go away. We are in the battle for our lives, our souls, our relationship, both now and forever. And let me tell you something. There are tons of experiences all over the place. And millions are experiencing contact in a variety of ways. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the Spirit of God and the experience of what occurs at the moment of salvation. What does the Spirit of God do? Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter Live Broadcast, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. It is September the 15th. It's a Wednesday night, 2010, and we are in the mix of, this massive political shifting that is going on. It's really a battle here in the United States, but I know it's that way, around the world. So again, welcome to all of you that are listening live. We send in Jesus Christ's name blessing. May God's hand be stretched out. May God grant revival and salvation, healing, deliverance. May God invade your life with grace and mercy. Is that okay to pray that? Well, I mean it, and I pray it, and I expect it. I really do. To all those that download, those of you in many countries of the world, again, blessings, the motivation, the Spirit of God inside my life simply to get to as many as possible, that includes you. So I'm glad you're listening tonight. I'm glad you're listening maybe at a later date through the archives. It's going to be a supernatural hour because prayers have gone up. The Spirit of God is here. The living Christ, he is alive and operative in the world. In the lives of believers, the mission of God is the most powerful thing. Now, for many of us, we do see the dark side. We do see what is occurring. There are millions that have embraced spiritual experiences. And it seems to be like, heavenly, light, spiritual. Nowadays, spiritual experiences, it can be like walking through a minefield. You really do have to watch your step. Young lady goes to a Wiccan meeting, another girl takes her. They do a little bonding ritual, and they do another bonding ritual, these little kind of rituals that were done. Later she shows up, and she stands there in a church looking at me. And I finally, at the end of the service, someone pointed to her. She was like glued to the road that she was standing in. Everybody was leaving. I went up to her and I asked this girl, a teenage girl, did she want to come forward? And she shook her head. Yes. I said, just by observation, I could tell. I could see it. It was so evident. I said, are they telling you not to talk to me? And this has happened numerous times in other experiences. She shook her head, yes. She wouldn't even answer, fearing they would hear. Well, the moment I prayed, as with a couple of other teenagers like her, in this case, she fell between the pews, and, a spiritual confrontation was on. Now, she came out of all of this, and we share this experience, and I tell about the deliverances and the exorcisms, and maybe I'll write a book on, give out the top 20 or top 30, just give the experiences that have occurred and let you know what occurred and what happened. Because I think half of the individuals brought to us, they knew they had something. They knew something occurred. They knew something was in them, on them, around them. They felt an energy. They had some kind of special ability. But it wasn't until we invoked, and only those who know the living Christ can invoke the name of the living Christ. If you don't know him, you don't use the name of Jesus like it's some kind of charm or amulet or as if you have the right. That happened in the book of Acts, where they had Jewish sorcerers and others that were in the occult, and they simply tried to take the name Jesus and use it. The New Age does that. Psychics do that. Even remote viewers will do that. But I'm going to tell you right now that if the living Christ doesn't live within you, you don't have the authority of Christ, and you actually engage demonic entities, spirits, dark spirits, well, they will know. And most likely, they will attack you. There's all kinds of experiences out there, but not all of them are coming from God. Can you tell the difference? As we read in the book of 1 John chapter 4, a lot of you know this, test the spirits to see whether they have come from God. Well, let's take a look at some of those experiences. And by the way, let me say this, in giving you kind of an update, a heads up, what's going on, we're going to be adding the Ragged Edge show that we used to do on Sunday nights. We're going to move it starting next week to Wednesday nights. It may go Wednesday or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but starting next week, Wednesday night, it'll be at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, p.m., right after the live show here. We're going to go right into the Ragged Edge show. That will be on the blog talk. There'll be a link just to click how to get there, how to sign in, get into the chat room. You can get into some live chat and so forth. And we will kind of be doing a special follow-up. And we'll always have a topic, but an engagement, direct engagement with many, many listeners. If you're a listener right now, you can email me at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And I'd love just to hear from where you're listening from. We have friends out of the country, in Canada, and all across the United States, Mexico also. But a lot of you that do the archives and you're downloading in nations all over, I would love to hear from the Russians. I would love to hear from others in China. We have a friend that is a professor there that has engaged, never met face-to-face, but just in this level of contact. So I want to encourage you to go to shatterthedarkness.net, the website. Why? It tells all about our background, who we are, what we're all about. It has a bio of my background, Russ Dizdar. But it also tells you all the other things during the week. Now, please understand, we have massive work that we're doing on the websites, getting as much out as we can. As long as the internet is intact, we want as much as we can out there. And so we do encourage you that if you're someone that downloads the MP3s, make all the CDs you want. The only copyrights we have is that you don't change anything or sell them to make money. So take a look at our copyright page and content page, but we want you to have it out there absolutely free. We just fixed two of the courses. We have a course on Satanism, a course on the Holy Spirit, a course on spiritual gifts, a course on theology, a course on deliverance and inner healing, counseling, all kinds of courses. Now, three or four of those have been broke. The links have gotten all messed up, and so we reloaded some of those today. And we will acknowledge or put up on the website when all of those are back up. And literally about 500 hours of training. It's the same thing I would teach locally here at a Bible school or if I was teaching at a college. Apologetics we're doing, dynamic discipleship. As a matter of fact, for many of you who are questers and seekers, under the little box to the left on the website, dynamic discipleship, there's a number of MP3s. How do you know that you're saved? What is the evidences of being saved? What happens at the moment of salvation? By the way, we're going to talk about not all the different demonics, you know, spirits in what they're doing today. We're going to give you some things about what does the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation? What does he do? What occurs? What happens in that miracle? So I'm going to go over that tonight and give you some insight. And I'm going to pray that you already know and that this will be bring confirmation. For those that are looking to know, I'm going to share with you the most powerful, unprecedented, unequaled experience that involves coming into direct relationship to God with love, with joy, with peace, with a power for living, and a knowing within, and an ability to know the Spirit-empowered Word of God concerning, well, indestructible immortality, and eventually, now think about this, having the capacity to see God face to face. In biblical prophecy, it talks about it there in the end of the book of Revelation. After glorification, at the end of everything, there's a final act that God does face to face. You know what it is? That's when there's going to be the removal. There's no more pain, no more dying, no more death, none of that kind of stuff. And where God himself wipes away the totality of tears. I can go into the physics, the enormity of the glorification. I mean, the enormity of being in a glorified, indestructible, eternal body that has the capacity to look and gaze upon the face of God. And in that gaze upon the face of God is as awe-striking, as mind-blowing as that will be. It is once again the demonstration that this infinite, immeasurable, immense God of the universe, creation, and redemption, it's all about the fact that God is relational. The infinite hand of the relational, personal, intimate God reaches out to wipe away the totality, the history, forever and ever and ever of pain. Or the reasons for tears. It is something that God can bring into our lives right now. I know what it is to cry bloody murder. I know what it is to cry with the depth of my emotion. I know what it is to bleed emotionally. But I know by experience what it is for the Spirit of God, the comfort of the Spirit of God granted deep within. I know what it is for the Lord to restore my soul, to revive my spirit, to lighten my eyes, to be the lifter of my head. I know what it is for God to refresh my life. That's all biblical, but it's experiential. It's all in the book, but it's all about what God can do. Now, if you're reading the Psalms at all, you're going to find that believers, they're not talking about engagement with energy, speculations, and reducing God to some kind of idol or totem. These writers are in direct relationship with, they talk to God, God brings answers. There's a relationship that in that relationship brings out the a massive number of experiences that can occur today. There's a scripture that says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think that in understanding that, the writers of the psalm got to understand, in their relationship with the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, as we have a relationship today with the once incarnated, once dead, once buried, once raised from the dead, once ascended, forever glorified back from where he came. Now that's the relationship. Now listen, if you're a Wiccan, a Satanist, a Luciferian, if you're a recon expert in listening right now, then you're caught. You're caught in a one-hour providential where there is a working of the Spirit of God. Even if you've had many spirits that operate in and on you. Even if you're a priest or a priestess that has summoned the powers and they're all over you. They all know Jesu Christu. They all know Yahweh Adonai. They all know the name. Shudder, fear, mock, blaspheme, cuss, and no doubt they'll try to get out of the room. Jesus Christ. Now again, spoken by one that knows him, spoken by one that has the right to use his name, that is called by his name. This is why when we went over the series, part of the series last week with Sylvia Brown writing about Christ, the mystical Christ, in all of her book, number one, she never met him, doesn't know him, has no experience with the living, real Christ. Number two, has no experience, no experiential relationship to God the Holy Spirit. None. She doesn't have the right to use, and I'm going to say to psychics and remote viewers, to anyone that does not know the living Christ right now. I mean, here's the fact. You cannot, I mean, you could do it. I mean, you can do it all day long. There'll be no effect. You don't have the authority, the right, that which has been given by God to be able to use the name. See, I can cry out to the Lord. I know the Lord. The Lord knows my name. The Spirit of God is in me. I'm a temple of the Spirit of God, as every believer is, wherever you are. And see, that's the thing about salvation, or the act of salvation, the thing that occurs at salvation. Whether you're Russian or Chinese or Swahili, whether you're in India or whether you're in Finland or whether you're in Pretoria or whether you're, you know, it doesn't make any difference where you are. As a human being, if you have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and yielded your life and believed upon him and received him as Lord and Savior, then the exact same thing occurs in your life, wherever you are, that has occurred in mine. There are hundreds of millions upon millions of believers in Jesus worldwide. There is a mission that is so broad, so wide, that every ounce of heaven is involved in this. The angels of God are involved in this. On the one hand, they are battling the dark side, the counterfeit, that which seeks to keep people blinded and away from the voice and the presence and the hearing of the gospel of God. So they're there to unleash their agenda, to blind minds and hearts, to steal the word of God, to do all that's necessary, and maybe. Listen, if you listen to this, and by accident, you've been listening by accident, you think, but you know that there's something happening. There's something that's drawing you to Christ. Maybe you've been wounded and you're a believer, but you've been deeply wounded and you've been away. You have no idea that you've been spiritually defeated by the dark side. And though you know the Lord, and though your tears are real, you've not known how to get out of that pain. I just said earlier, God is the one ultimately, but also right now, that can wipe away tears, renew your soul, bring revival to you. But it will also involve what God needs to tell you to do and come up out of it and get out of the passivity. See, the dark side loves wounded, bruised, bleeding, passive believers in Christ. Their shield is down, the word is fading, and the enemy is eating your lunch. And you know it's not right. And you know that right now the Spirit of God is gripping you. Get out. Renounce all this stuff. Stand up in the name of the living Christ. Renounce the work of the enemy, the work of sin that has come in, and repent and turn and believe and reckon, count as true every word of God. Surrender, open wide. Let God refill your life. Let the Spirit of God pour through you a renewal of forgiveness, a renewal of new life, a renewal of the calling and the love of God and the joy of the Lord. If you've been crying, where's the joy of the Lord? It's buried under your sin. It's buried under the dark presence that you have not rebuked and told to get away. You're supposed to have the armor of God on. You have the authority of Christ to crush and trample the dark side and overcome all the power of the enemy. What are you doing with that authority? Clear the air, clear your life, stand up, and be renewed. May the Lord Jesus grant personal, powerful revival in your life right now in Jesus' name. Now, I'm saying all of that before we get into the work of the Holy Spirit at salvation. I'm saying all of that because what I want to tell you is, out all around us are experiences. The email that I got, matter of fact, I got a number of emails of individuals, and I can't get to all of them, but I'm trying to get to a lot of them. But many of them, they want deliverance, they want prayer, they want whatever's going on in their life, they want dark presence out of their life, they want this, you know, they've got this experience or that experience. They went to a Reiki healer, and they don't realize that Reiki healers depend upon the energies of the spirits, spirit guides. I try it. Oh, it's real. Counterfeit healing can occur. Counterfeit miracles can occur. Counterfeit signs. And we haven't seen anything yet. They're going to be here in abundance when the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the false prophet occurs. I mean, it's going to be massive all over the place. What about those going down to the Mayan temples and other places in South Africa or South America? Taking the drugs like ayahuasca from shamans, they all know what it does. It opens you up. It does. It's for real. It opens you up to the spirits. There's something about particular drugs that open you up to engagement. It may be that the spirits have guided, that they have been the ones to show how to boil them down, how to break them down, how to use them. Listen, you don't think that the dark side was not involved in the development of LSD, some of the other drugs that poured out in the 60s, do you? You don't think that in the agenda of the dark side, just as there can be dark spirits giving ideas to those in science and political areas and military and influence in that direction, you've got to understand, they know the use of drugs. They know what they can do. And so if they guide, you think God's guiding that? God doesn't need you to take a pill to get into relationship. Has nothing to do with what happened at the cross. You cannot buy heroin, buy cocaine, buy meth. You cannot buy ayahuasca, buy LSD, buy peyote. You cannot reach God with these kinds of drugs. But they will open you up to the dark side, to real experiences, to voices, to a presence that can attach to your life and eventually get in the more you use the drug, the more you welcome the experience. Can you get out of it? There's one way. There is one way, and when we see Christ in the Gospels, and I'm just telling you, go to the Gospel of Mark, and you're going to see Jesus' presence just walking up near people, forced the exposure and manifestation of dark spirits. And they knew instantly who he was. And may I say this, they absolutely know if a person is a real believer. They really do. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, that's what a demon said, as recorded in the book of Acts. There's knowledge on that side. Now, in this day in which there's a lot of experiences, we're seeing thousands and thousands of new remote viewers taking on the information, allowing themselves to go passive, and having their unconscious or their spirit opened up to the Akashic Records. They're feeling energy. They're even going out and engaging entities. More and more remote viewers are moving from the quiet, distant experience and energies and empowerments and non-human enhancements to direct engagement with entities. And they're eating your lunch. They're running circles around you. They have the supernatural ability to morph, to present, to do anything and say anything, there is a incredible power beyond fallen humanity. And they will give enablements, just like there's no question that Sylvia Brown has some enablements. And many of you that may be listening that write me letters, you have enablements, but they don't come from God. You have experiences, but they don't come from God. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a ton of experiences, more and more, and there is an active offer coming from the other side. As prophesied, they will be here in abundance. Well, in the midst of all of that, I'm going to spend the rest of the 35 minutes just talking about the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the experience that I had. Now, for me, my experience through the 60s and the drugs and the occult and being in Golden Buddha at the temple and all these things, I was, I was into spirituality. I was into engagement. I was into experiences. I was hearing things, seeing things. I confess, through those processes, I did get up and get out of my body. I had an out-of-the-body experience. And I had engagement with voices. I had all kinds of stuff that was occurring. But right in the midst of that, now I didn't know this. Now this goes back to September, I believe, 1975. In August and September, we were in the depths of all these experiences. In 1975, September, I was into these experiences, living in an apartment. I was engaged with these experiences and communicating and listening and thinking that I was gaining the wisdom, the secret wisdom of the universe from these entities. And I also thought I was gaining power, that power was coming into my life. Until that night when we were having a great big party. And the parties for us, yes, they were loud and hedonistic and all that kind of stuff. But they were there was a spiritual element because of where we came from. I wanted to draw people into, just like what others drew me into, those supernatural experiences that were real, but were not coming from God. But that was the night that out of nowhere, a man came to the big party at our apartment complex and walked in the door, and it was as if God walked in the door. I want you to know that when the door opened, it was as if God's power and presence beamed out of his life. I saw it. Others saw it. I can tell everybody began to put their beer down, give away their joints, turn away. He began to immediately share Jesus with the first person he saw. I mean, he didn't stop. The first person, the second person, people were going everywhere, and people were running and hiding. I ran and hid. And I heard him sharing Jesus, and it was like a spiritual presence invaded that dark realm. It was like something happened, and it was beyond me. And I kept asking myself, why am I afraid of this guy? Why am I hiding from this guy? I'm spiritual. I go to the temple. I've got powers. I've done this. I go over, and all these things I'm rationalizing, and the door swings open to the back decks where I was hiding in the dark. And all of a sudden, this man looks at me, and I could barely look up at his face. It was as if purity, a radiance, the living God. It was as if conviction. It was as if the presence in him revealed the filthy, dark, sin, demonic presence in and around me. I was trapped against the rails. Other than jumping down 20 yards, or I don't know how far it was down. And I kept looking down and at my feet and moving my feet around and nervous. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. And I finally said to the man, his name was Steve. And I said, Steve, how you doing? And all of a sudden I looked at him and he said these words, I'm living for the Lord now. And then he began to talk about Jesus and proclaim to me Christ. I don't know what else he said because I was undone. Everything about me was undone. And I finally looked up and couldn't take any more and said, I got to get out of here. And I brushed past him, went down to my old $35 car that I had. It was an Impala, touched the two wires together to start it, drove clear 20 miles back to my mom and dad's home that I left. I left my apartment where he was. I don't know who locked up the doors that night. I said, I'm getting out of here. And I went to my mom and dad's and said, I'm sleeping here tonight. Went down to my old room, got in my bed. In that room, there were posters on the wall. Posters on the wall of demons coming out of a ritual circle where there were there were people that were summoning them. There were drugs, and this was the place we did all kinds of stuff, and there were all kinds of books and materials and music. I remember one particular 8-track back in that day. The music was called Lucifer's Friend. And I played it all the time. I mean, Bluish to Colt, Black Sabbath, many other groups. But I laid down in the bed probably 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, 1 o'clock when I got there. I don't even know what time it was. I just know that I was undone, turned the lights out. And I thought being away and escaping and closing the lights and going to sleep to shut down that experience was enough. Every time I closed my eyes, all I could feel, all I could sense was Jesus, the brilliant, radiant Christ, the living Christ coming through that man, Steve. Listen, I knew he was a drug dealer before. I knew he was I bought drugs. I partied with the man, but now he was clean. Now he was righteous. Now he was, I don't know what, he was just pouring out with a love I have never felt, with a power I have never felt, a cleanness that I never knew. Every time I closed my eyes, it was as if I could see my life in comparison to Christ. I had no idea it was God the Holy Spirit. That once the content of the gospel was laid out on me, once the word of God was given to me and put into me, and prayers were given up to me that night by that guy, once all that occurred, even though I got away, the Spirit of God, omniscient, omnipresent, he didn't go away. The pursuit of God, the summons of God, the call of God, the draw of God, the wooing, it was all over me. I didn't know. I knew there was a presence, but it was beyond that walking into the room thing, that thing in the midst of meditation, those energies. I knew they were liars. I knew that that stuff was not God. But I thought I would get power, but I thought I would get wisdom, that I thought I would get some kind of high status. It was in the middle of that night when I kept opening my eyes and with my fist pounding my head saying, get out of my head, God. And I'd close my eyes and lay back. And then all of a sudden I would feel it again. That same radiance, that same presence, that same power. I would see the face of that man that shared Jesus with me. He had the guts to share Christ. He didn't care what all those people in that party would think. He didn't care about rejection. He didn't care about anything else. He cared about me. He cared about my soul. He cared about bringing the love of Christ to me. He cared about whether I went to heaven or hell. He didn't care about anything else. I don't know how he did that. I found out later. Finally, after hours of struggle, hours of mental, emotional, spiritual struggle, I couldn't take it any longer. It was as if God was all over me, speaking, and I knew that I knew that I knew that he loved me, but I knew that God was on the outside. And I knew that he was knocking and that the whole issue was him coming on the inside. See, I knew what the guy said. I knew it was said that Jesus loved me, that Jesus would come into me, that he would give me his power, that he would cleanse me, that he would change me. And the guy had enough guts to say, Rush, you need Jesus Christ. Some people get mad when you say that, but they know it's true. You see, all the experiences that I had, leaving the body, being in the temple, learning from a master, learning all these arts, building chi, getting the experiences, telling everybody else. I read a verse later that talked about that our righteousness was as filthy rags. And that's exactly at that moment what I felt concerning all the other junk. I felt like I'd wasted a number of years of my life. All of a sudden, all I knew to do was roll out of bed. Nobody, I wasn't in a church. I wasn't raised in a church. I didn't know what a church service was. I was at home in the room where I had big parties. I rolled out of bed, and I just simply cried out loud, "Jesus, I don't know everything about you. I only know what I've heard, what little bits I've read." Here's the words I kind of spoke. "I don't care what anybody says anymore. I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. I don't care at all. Lord Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior. Please come into my life. Please forgive me and wash me. Please give me the power of your Holy Spirit. I receive you. I believe on you. I accept you." And it was as if a massive exchange occurred. As if the winds, it's like a wind, but it was the Spirit of God, Ruach. All of a sudden, it was like a breathing in into the depths of my body, my soul, my spirit, to the depths of me. It seems as though darkness bolted out. It seems as though instantaneously I felt cleansed of everything, washed of everything. I mean, just purified as if I had never sinned in my life. All of a sudden, I felt a joy and an embrace and a love, almost like liquid, like just being poured into me. I didn't know how to explain it. I didn't know the biblical language. I didn't know theology. I didn't know to call it redemption, regeneration, new birth, being saved, being born again. I didn't know any of those terms. All I knew was the gospel, a good news, that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, rose, that he wants me, that he summons me, that he's coming for me, that he... All this man told me about Jesus was good. But in my sin, in my darkness, and what I was embracing, I ran from him. Just like some of you in the past have run. But those of you with the tears in your eyes and running down your face right now, it's your opportunity once again. Call right now on the name of the living Christ. There is no experience higher. You absolutely need it. I believe deep inside you want it. You may not feel worthy. That's true. You may feel like a wretched sinner. That's true. You may feel like hell's hanging onto your ankles. That's true. But when, under the presence and the power of the Spirit of God, you call on the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, come into my life. I accept you. I receive you. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. I accept all of who you are, the gift of salvation. You know what happens? The same Spirit of God that may be right now drawing you, summoning you, calling you, the Spirit of God that now it's communicated. Now you know. It's not just a head thing. It's emotion. It's your heart, the cardia, the center of your being. God is embracing you. God is calling you. God is summoning you. That is the Spirit of God. That is the miracle of the omniscient, uncreated, infinite, eternal, Holy Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, remember those chapters? Chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Read them. The Spirit of God has been sent into the world to convict and convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's there to convince you and convict you of the issue of your own sin. And there is no way to get it off. You can try to drink it away, drug it away, meditate it away, deny it away, but you know it doesn't go away. There's only one power, the blood of Christ. what Christ did at the cross as your personal sin bearer. That means literally all of your sin and the sin of the world was lifted up and laid on the sinless Christ there at the cross. There at the cross, all the sin that Russ Dizdar had ever done, all the filth, all of the wrong was laid on the sinless Savior. He took it all to the grave. In the death that Christ died, the sinless Savior, sin bearer, destroyed the power of sin. Rising from the dead, he blasts apart the finality of death. He conquered it all. See, the barrier between you and God is your sin. And because of your sin, Satan's rights to hold you. To literally have legal spiritual rights and then try to blanket you with more and more and more and more and do everything. The dark side, counterfeit spiritual experiences, they are not your friends. Sent from hell, they are bent on keeping you from God. What will you do? The Spirit of God in the world today, in Russia, China, there in Croatia. It doesn't make any difference. The global presence of the Spirit of Christ, the passion of the Spirit of the Lord, that night for me in 1975, you see, it was so explosive to me, I don't even remember the actual day. I just remember at 3 or 4 in the morning, I prayed to accept Jesus into my life. And all of a sudden, it's as if the barrier broke. It's as if the doors were opened and Christ, God, and all of the work, all of the power, all of what was needed and more flooded in to the depths of me. My human spirit was made alive to God instantly. See, the act of salvation is an instant thing where at one moment Christ is on the outside. You may feel the Spirit of God convincing you, convicting you, summoning you, bulging and at the door of your heart and life. Oh, don't you turn away. Don't you ignore that. If you ignore it long enough and shut the voice of the Holy Spirit long enough, reject Christ long enough, you may get harder and harder and harder. Thank God you're listening right now. Thank God you have the Spirit of God leading how you got a hold of this, why you're here. It is no accident. The omniscient presence of God. You think he didn't know? You think that this is the God that knows how many hairs are on your head? That's nothing in comparison to his knowledge of you as a human being, as unique, meant to be in the image of God, meant to have in you the Holy Spirit. If you're lost and you're not saved and you're not born again, then right now your spirit, though alive in you, is dead to God. In your genetics is a sin code. That's why you do wrong. That's why you can't stop. In your genetics is the death code. The wages of sin is death. And if you die in that state, it's your sin. It's your separation. If you die in that state, you're lost forever. And Satan has spiritual rights to you because of your sin. The Spirit of God comes to convict and convince of your sin issue and the guilt of it, of righteousness, which you do not have on your own. You can try to get all good as you can possibly get. You can't wash away. What are you going to use? You can't drink it away. You can't drug it away. You can't demonize it away. It's only the sin bearer, the blood of Christ. It's there with a total cleansing. It is beyond psychological. It is into the very depths of your being. At the moment of salvation, here's some of the things. Listen up. Because I'm telling you, whether you're New Ager, whether you're a remote viewer, whether you're just atheist or lost, maybe you're a believer and you will use this and make a disc and give it to a friend. All I can tell you right now is that salvation, though there is a thousand other experiences out there and demonic lying masqueraded promises, though there are millions attaching themselves to the counterfeit salvation of an evolution to deity that never has not now, and never will occur, coming from the dark side, the promise of God and the work of Christ at salvation is this. The Spirit of God will speak into you, and the Word of God will enable you, and the goal is for God to lift you on the inside to the point where you are enabled to believe upon the Lord Jesus, to knowingly realize what needs to be done, that your sin is on you, that you do not have the righteousness, only Christ has the righteousness. He's the sinless sin bearer, yours. And judgment. You know in the depths of your soul that there is a judgment for sin. And the fact is, you can't get out of it no matter what you've done, no matter where you've gone. You can go to the Vatican and dance around in front of the Pope. You can shake hands with the Pope. That don't save you. You can sit in a church pew somewhere. That don't save you. You say, well, I'll read the Bible. Well, that's great, but by just reading. No, God's calling for response. When there is this summons of God, God calls metanoia, repentance, and belief, faith in Christ. It is literally the idea of turning around. I shared the story again. The house is on fire. You're running down the hallway, going in the wrong direction because you're blinded by the smoke. You're choking. You're alive, but you know that it's not going to last very long. And this powerful fireman stands on the other side of down the hall and with a light screams out to you, come this way, turn around. You're going in the wrong direction. You turn around and you come back that way where there's light, where he grabs a hold of you. As you come that way, he grabs a hold of you. He carries you out of the building where you can breathe and be saved. That's the concept. Turn around. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Turn to him. Call on. The Bible says this, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, shall be saved. What does salvation mean? It means at the moment, Jesus Christ, that when you say, I accept you, come into my life, I believe on you, I receive you as Lord, Savior, God. What happens is an instantaneous exchange. Your human spirit, once dead to God, is all of a sudden, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lit up. You're born of the Spirit of God. You're born again. This means that your human spirit now has the literal living Christ coming in. And you've been made alive. Your soul is now the Spirit of God is there. Everything changes in the core of your being. Because of the work of Christ, what he did on the cross, and because of the shedding of his blood, the dying, the rising, all that he's done, the Spirit of God applies the absolute righteousness of Jesus to you. See, all of a sudden you can feel you're washed. You are. You're totally, eternally, absolutely forgiven of anything and everything you've ever done. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far shall I remove your sin from you. He's the sin bearer. He takes it away. Takes it away. And in that taking away, your spirit, your soul, your being, there's a cleansing, a washing. In the book of Titus, you can check this out later, chapter 3, it talks about a washing, it talks about a renewal, it talks about a regeneration, a new birth. Instantaneously, quicker than a second, you are born of the Spirit of God, which means that you're forgiven. It means that the sin code, the operating force of the sin nature, has been rendered powerless. Romans 6. Romans 8, a new power. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. A new law is on the inside. A new power for living. You've been totally forgiven and totally freed from the power and the control of habitual sin. Thirdly, you've been severed. The chains, the rights that Satan had over you, they've been utterly severed, totally broken. As a brand new person, if you're a believer right now, this is already something that occurred. There's a lot of believers like, listen, I know what it felt like, what I experienced. Then I went out. You know what I did? I went out to Kmart. I didn't know where else to go. I had no idea there was a such thing as a Christian bookstore. I went to Kmart, and I found a Bible, and I bought a Bible. It was kind of weird going to the cash register buying a Bible. I mean, I was a rock and roll, you know, head-banging, bar-fighting, you know, attempting to be Buddhist, 19-year-old that was buying a Bible at Kmart. I didn't know where to begin. I had no idea where to begin. But I began reading, man. It was like a vacuum cleaner pulling in, you know, everything. It was like it was pouring into me. And I went to tell my friends what occurred. And another got saved, and another got saved, and another got saved, and we began to meet together and read. And, you know, of course, being taken to church and then getting baptized and going on from there. 35 years ago, instantaneously that night, as the Spirit of God summoned and called and the Lord was wanting to come into my life with all of His presence, power, new life, eternal life. When that occurred, can I tell you something? That's what it's all about to this very day. See, now I have experientially come to know Him 35 years ago. And experientially got to grow deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Oh yeah, over the years, we've got to lead thousands of people to Jesus. Oh, I confess to you freely, if you're lost, I am trying to win you to Christ. I am trying to call you, you know, as my job as a faithful witness of Jesus to come to Christ. I'm trying to tell you that right now the Word of God says that if you will stop, turn around, run into Jesus. I mean, just say, Jesus Christ, I want you. I turn to you. Come into my life. Total instantaneous forgiveness. Absolute freedom from the power and control of sin. Absolute freedom from Satan's rights over your life. But more than that occurs. The righteousness, the total sinless righteous nature of Jesus is imputed. Romans chapter 5, it is given to you. It is as if it was a robe. All of a sudden now God has robed you with the absolute robe righteousness of Christ, as if you've never sinned in all of your life. God also now, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows you as His child. The Spirit of God comes in and you're adopted. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're sealed to the day of redemption. What's deposited into you that very moment means now, because of Jesus being on the inside, every promise in the Bible, every word of God is for you. Everything is for you. Everything. And that's ground zero. The moment you can't grow in Christ, know Him better, use His authority, know the armor of God, learn spiritual gifts, be part of the mission. You can't do any of that unless you know Him. You can't be free from your addictions and sins and failures unless you know His power. Salvation is the power of a new life. God breathes into you by the Spirit of God new life, Zoe, the qualitative life that comes from God. It is now, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, here's what it says, His, God's divine power is now placed inside of you, in you, permanently. giving you everything you need to grow, everything you need to develop and become strong. There are those that have said to me, I can't come to Christ until I get my life cleaned up. No, you can't get your life cleaned up until you come to Christ. Come to Jesus now. The devil lies to you and says to wait. How long are you going to wait till you get to the edge of hell? How long are you going to wait? You break through to the other side and find yourself in hell, you know right then it's over. But right now, it's not. Right now, I am very sure the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, summons you to repent, metanoia, turn around, turn to the living Christ, say, yes, Jesus, I accept you, I receive you, come into my life. I confess you as Lord and Savior, God. And he deposits in you the power of a new life, the promise of his literal, actual presence within you, never leaving you, never forsaking you, the promise that he's going to guide you, lead you, direct you, develop you spiritually, and make you stronger and stronger and stronger and deeper and broader in your experience. Oh, there's going to be joy. There's going to be the love. There's going to be, listen, so many people, when they first get saved, coming out of darkness, coming into light, man, I went everywhere. I told everybody. I told my mom. I told my dad. My dad made fun of me. My dad cussed me out. My mom wondered if it was real. They just saw a change in my life. All of a sudden, I had a Bible. All of a sudden, I'm going to Bible study. I'm showing up as an old Cheech and Chong, I'm just an old rock and roll party and bar fighting, trying to be a Buddhist guy, just starting to go to church with a new Bible. I don't know anything about what clothes to wear. I just know that Jesus loves me, and he's on the inside. And 35 years later, I have great joy in Christ telling you of what occurred. That's my experience. It's the experience of everyone worldwide when they accept, whether you're Russian, whether you're Chinese, whether you're Swahili, whether you are in India, whether you are in Manila, whether you're listening live or listening a month later, read the Gospel of John. You can get it online. Go to BibleGateway.com. You can get a Bible. Send me a note. If you don't have a Bible, I'll make sure you get some kind of Bible. But I want you to hear me right now. If you've accepted Jesus Christ and you let him come inside with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can expect massive change and development. Confess him. Go ahead and just yell it out. Jesus Christ, you are my Lord, my God. Hey, write to me. I need to know. I need to help you out to grow. I love you tonight, but God loves you. Hey, we're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Remember us in prayers. Remember us in support. Good night.